Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of SYD Life. It's just Charlotte here, all by myself, but I'm going to be handing over to two incredible panels as we kick off a 2-episode long relationship series. We're going to have one for the guys, one for the girls, and the heart behind this is that we want to learn and get some great insight and wisdom into how to date well, how to be single well, and how to be married well. So we've got an A-list group of people coming up. I'm really excited for you all to hear about it. This was one of the topics that we constantly get asked about, so I'm sorry that we've had to wait until the end of the year to get to it, but just wanted to make sure that it's a really great couple of episodes. So please enjoy, please share with your friends, please let me know if you have any other questions or anything that you want to discuss in the future. I'm really excited for what we're about to step into, and enjoy.
All right. Thanks, Shah. Today's going to be a fun podcast. Can't wait. You said, we've got the lads in the studio today. So can you quickly introduce yourselves? Curtis, why don't you start?
Yeah, I'm Curtis.
Hello.
Hello. What else would you
like? A little
fun tidbit. I'm really into this topic. That's actually a genuine fun tidbit for me.
Good.
Doing relationships and things well.
Yep. It's a big part of life.
Big part of life. Yeah. I feel like the two things that have like caused me the most frustration and anxiety in my world are around relationships, like specifically with God and with people.
Yeah.
And so this is awesome. So good to be here.
Good. Glad you're here.
Yeah.
And Alistair.
Hey, I'm Alistair.
Hello. Welcome.
Thank you.
And a fun tidbit.
Oh, a fun tidbit. Does it have to be fun?
It can be. Don't give me a boring tip.
What were you listening to on the way here?
I was listening to my playlist of Christian death metal.
Christian death metal.
Yeah.
In my mind, they're mutually exclusive, but... we're talking all things relationships today. And I think the fun thing is, even just as three guys, we're in very different seasons of life.
Yeah.
I'm married. I got a kid. I've been married for 5 years. Five and a half years. I was looking for help. Someone help me. Since 2019.
I don't know.
I don't know either, apparently. Mm. Got another kid on the way.
So exciting.
Amen.
Where's your marital status? You know, when you fill out a form?
I'm technically single, according to the government, but I'm not. I'm in a lovely dating relationship.
Yes.
But you know how the government form is like married or single? If I were to answer that, I'd have to tick.
Yeah,
de facto or single. No, not de facto.
Minor technicality, that one.
Yeah.
And dating. Alistair?
I am a single Pringle.
Single Pringle?
Yeah.
Very good. Mm. Ready to cringle around Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, let's do a hard segue into the first question. And thanks for writing these in. These are people who we kind of did like an Ask Me Anything moment for these. And we've got a ladies podcast coming out next time. So fear not.
Can't wait.
But the funny thing is, I kind of think for women, this might actually be insightful to, hear what happens in our minds.
Totally.
So the first one is, what pressures do guys face when it comes to being in a relationship?
It's a great question.
Curtis.
I reckon doing things perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's not just Christian guys. I think all guys really want to do things really well in all parts of their life. And I think that includes doing a relationship. And it's very easy, I found, to like, you can limit a relationship to like, just like, you know, a thing to succeed, like a pressure to succeed this thing.
Right.
And that can get really rough. So I'd say just like doing things perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wanting to do things really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And giving it space to be like, it's not perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
And it never will be.
No.
Because it's two people.
Exactly. Mm. And there should be healthy pressure. There actually should be a pressure that we face in these contexts to do things well. If there was no pressure, then the relationship would mean nothing, or these things would mean nothing to us.
Right. Like, so if there's no stakes on it.
If there's no stakes on it. Like,
yeah.
If your relationship means nothing, then the stakes should be nothing. So there should be an element of pressure to it.
Yeah.
But I think just this raw desire that we have to get it perfect, I think is a pretty big pressure for dating. I don't know. What do you think, Alistair? Yeah.
Oh, I think the main pressure for single guys is the pressure to be in a relationship.
True.
I mean, we live in a society that defines your value and your identity by your sexual identity, right? Mm. And so I'm a single Christian man, which means that I am celibate at this time. And that doesn't work in our society at the moment.
It's true. If you look at a lot of the advertising or movies or social media, you could be tricked into thinking that being in a relationship or being sexually active is life's greatest goal.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing either of those things, then you're missing out.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that true though?
No.
No, not at all.
No.
I mean, you're the married one. you're married. So you tell us.
Oh, yeah. Sex is good, but if that becomes the goal of life, the pressure you put on sex is going to be so unhealthy. And also, like, Jesus died a 33-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
So it can't be the be-all and end-all of our existence. It can't at all.
Yeah. I also think I've been reading this amazing book called Theology of the Body.
Yeah.
And they were kind of talking about how it's not that sex has been undervalued. It's not that it's been overvalued in our culture, as in like it's emphasized everywhere. It's actually undervalued. Like it's given too much. It's cheapened.
Right.
It's so cheapened because it's this incredible picture of, you know, Christ's love for the church and for people. And when it's taken and just treated like it's nothing, that's like the saddest thing.
It is sad. So, okay, so shifting gears slightly. Dating. So people who do want to be in a relationship and are hopefully approaching it from a healthy point as well, where it's not I'm doing it because I feel I have to do it. What's some like what's a good approach to ask a girl out? Like what's, you know, maybe give me some blunders from the past. Where's it worked? Where hasn't it worked?
Oh dear.
you go, Alistair.
Well, my immediate reaction is directly.
Yes.
Because I don't do subtlety well. That could be my tidbit.
Yeah, so be straight up.
Yeah.
So like, hey,
I think it's more about like intentionality rather than being blunt. Hey, I like you. Okay. Well, slow down, tiger. But be intentional about it.
Yeah.
Like if you're asking someone out on a date, let that be clear that it's a date. I think there's nothing worse than the ambiguity. Or hey, hang out.
Because
that can be so misinterpreted and it has been. And then you fall in a situation where, okay, one of you thinks something's going really well and the other's like, oh yeah, you're my mate.
Yeah, that's good. I think when I chat to friends who are girls, probably like one of the biggest feedback they give me is like, guys, just being vague.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this? Are you just chatting to me or are you...
Yeah, totally.
Are you wanting to see where this goes?
Call a date a date.
And
call a stone a stone.
And I also like the thought of like just keeping it in the light.
Yeah.
Like again, chatting to friends who are girls about when they kind of get the ick or get a bit like, oh, what is this? A bit like that. It's things, even like practical things like a guy will message them like late at night or something.
Yeah.
And it's like on Instagram or something. Like, I think how you set out to do it in the first place really sets the tone.
It's a great point.
So yeah, what about you, Curdy?
Yeah, I agree with Alistair. Be clear. Do it nervous.
Do it nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
When where will you go out with me?
Literally, who I'm currently dating, I was literally like shaking. Like I could feel my hands like shaking.
That's cute.
And
man.
I was like, I like
high stakes.
I like whispered. It was really weird.
Shit to lean
like,
in.
She's like,
what?
No, I was like above her on a staircase and it was like a bit awkward.
Or power move.
Yes. Yeah, so I was trying to create that dynamic from the start. Exactly. But like, I just did it nervous. And because, you know, like we're not stupid. Like people start to get vibes. Like I knew, I thought she was interested. And so they're going to say yes, hopefully. You
know? Which I love the do it nervous thing because, I don't know. I think a lot of guys would hide behind social media or Instagram.
Yeah.
Because you can control your appearance. But I think there's something beautiful about being vulnerable and being kind of like, which is the risk, right? You can be rejected.
Yeah.
How have you guys dealt with, or have you dealt with rejection?
Look, I found the no very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means that, okay, so you got to think for someone and you ask them out and she says no.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, great. I know where to put you. I put you in the friend box. Yeah. I can deal with these emotions.
Yeah.
And then every time we're hanging out, I'm not thinking about this thing on the side.
Mm.
I can actually be present in the moment in a friendship.
Because you know, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
So in that respect, I do like it.
Yeah.
At the same time, it kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yep.
And by kind of, I mean very.
Mm.
Yeah. Which I think is a normal response
to
rejection. Because you're having some hopes.
Totally.
Crushed.
Rejection.
Rejection.
It's not good.
Rejection sucks.
Yeah.
But it's a part of life.
But it makes you stronger.
It makes you stronger.
It makes us stronger.
Curdy, any
Rejection stories? I think, like you were saying, hiding behind social media, I probably did that, but in real life. Like, I hid behind, like, people that I knew.
Yeah.
Who knew the feelings of that people before. Right. I would ask them out.
Yeah. Like,
so I was kind of already aware that there was some reciprocal feelings.
Mm.
So I don't know. Not, I don't know about rejection there. Yeah.
That's amazing. You've just never been rejected.
Well, because I've always done the scouting first. It doesn't mean that.
No, he's irresistible.
Not at all. I'm just, just hidden behind other people's, you know, gather the intel first.
I don't think that's bad. Means
but
you're
like,
not
I've
just
never,
like
I've never blindly
blindly
going,
shooting.
I've never
let's knock on every door until I get a yes.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
I've never asked someone out without having
like
checked with their friend first.
Yeah, which friend do you go for?
The bestie.
Yeah, the close friends.
That's actually a good strategy.
Well, they're gonna know that person way more than you.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I don't know.
How much have they given on? Have they been like, yeah, go for it?
Oh, it's been very helpful, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Write this down, lads. Okay. So, keeping on the rejection thing. So, what about when you're broken up with? You've been in a relationship and when that ends? Because I think that's even harder than one that hasn't even begun, obviously. So, who wants to talk into that?
Has that happened to you?
Before being with my wife, I dated a girl in year 11, but it was such a, the stakes were so low on that relationship.
Mm.
I think because, like, we shouldn't have even dated in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got in this place where I was like, oh, everyone's dating. I think I should just date.
Sure.
And then we just started dating.
Mm.
And then it kind of just fizzled out and we just kind of mutually were like, yeah, there's nothing really. So,
thumbs down.
And then I went on like a few dinners in between that and then started dating my now wife. And they, during the dinners, I was like, it's a no for me. Like,
press the X on America's Got Talent.
Yeah. So,
it turns around.
So, yeah, nothing ever went super far emotionally until I started dating M. Thankfully. So, yeah, probably.
That's nice.
Yeah. No, yeah. What about you guys?
Alistair.
No experience.
No experience with rejection.
Mm.
So, what was the question again?
Like, how have you handled being broken up with? Or doing the breaking
yeah,
up?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is, like, you're going to want to know. Like, for me as a guy, like, I want to know reasons. Constantly, I want to know reasons. Like, just tell me why, and I can
tell me why.
I can fix it, or I can sing about it, or I can just whatever.
Yeah, closure.
Closure. And I think that's a good thing to want, but you're not the other person, and you never will be. You'll never understand fully the internal complex nature of who they are, which is fine. So, I'd say, like, ask for clarity.
Yeah.
But don't keep asking. Some point you just move on.
Yep.
And you just gotta.
And have to accept that it's over.
Yeah, have to.
Bro, that's
Yeah.
That's maturity there.
Well, it's hard. Like, yeah. And it's not hard for the person doing the breaking up either. Like, there's a level of empathy I think you can have for people in that situation. Because it's actually quite a brave thing to break up with someone as well. And so once you get, you know, through rejection stuff, you can see it from that angle as well. But it's big. It's hard.
It's a good point. There's probably some couples that should break up, but don't have the courage to do it.
Yeah. There are many reasons for that.
Yeah. Mm. Where it's like, oh, you're actually not healthy for one another. And it's been a long time. It's not getting better. It's time to kind of cut it off.
That's why you need to date in a community. Like, and so something like church, dating in a church environment, although it's tough because we're all around each other. Dating in a community is really important because it means you have multiple people looking in on your world instead of just your close, intimate, personal partner who's going to be on your side.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to be biased and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we'll get into at some point about confession and needing accountability and that kind of thing.
I think it's good. I think going to you, Alistair, with, you know, being a guy in your 20s, single, is there desire to be in a relationship or you're content?
Yeah, that's something I've been journeying with actually since I left Bible college in 2019. Dealing with the, yes, I really want this thing. Like, I really want to be a dad. But also, I'm so content with where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I realize that my life has a lot of advantages at the moment.
Yeah.
For certain things, I have a lot of freedom.
Yep.
And I'm able to just focus on what I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am content.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if something were to be around the corner, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, great. Which I think great is like such a good place to be, hey? Mm.
Oh, man.
Yep.
The wrestling I've done internally.
Yeah.
Going, okay, look, which desire is more important? Which is better? Because Paul even encourages the Corinthians, look, those of you that aren't married, I think you should stay unmarried, right?
Yeah.
And he indicates that, you know, for self-control reasons and things like that.
Yeah.
But also, we've got to realize that that's not for everyone. Because if no one else gets married, no one gets in a relationship, human race ceases to exist.
Yeah.
The old procreation.
Yeah. The old procreation, eh? The old Genesis
4. Yeah, original commandment. Yeah. I think, like, two things from that. I think it's great that you're in a place because that like desperation thing, that to be thirsty to be in a relationship, I think can be a slippery slope to be approaching relationships from.
Oh, it is a water slide to it, not just a slippery slope.
Yes. And so to find contentment, like, what's that really, the wrestle to find contentment? To be like, where there's so much pressure to be in a relationship, to be pursuing people, like...
Yeah, so for me, it was a desire for perceived intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Huge.
Yeah, so... The stage I'm in right now, I'm 26. A lot of my friends and people in my connect group are either having children for the first or second time. Some are just getting married. Some just got engaged. And I'm here like, okay, cool. So I wasn't chasing after individual people. But I think internally I was chasing after what I perceived as intimacy that I wasn't receiving.
Yes.
Because at home alone, it's me. Right? Whereas they finish work, they go home and it's their significant other. Or it's their significant other and their child. And I think that's compounded by some of the values that we emphasize here at church, where masculinity equals fatherhood. And to a degree, that is true.
Yeah.
Because to be a man in our community, you're a father in some way. Like, you're a father figure. In the advice you give or in the person you are in someone's life. Mm. Those are fatherly roles. Mm. But the way I was interpreting that is, okay, the way I reflect fatherhood is by being a father.
Yeah.
In the physical sense.
Yeah. I think, man, I love that.
So good, man.
Bro, a lot of wisdom in you. Yeah. This is a good...
26.
26.
I heard that 27 is the male's physical peak. So we're almost there, Alistair.
Whoa.
Bro, I got to hit the gym.
As a bald 29-year-old, I can confirm.
Oh, brother, I'm on the way.
It's Daniel.
I'm on the way.
Look at LeBron James, though. Oh, no, we shouldn't get into sport, eh? I could talk about that for ages.
Yeah, that's
literally playing with the sun. It's fine.
That's the next
wait,
podcast.
Wait, yo, you distracted me. I want to backtrack somewhere. So we talked about the message that is spoken from people who are in a power of leadership or authority, because that creates the pressures, right? Mm. So you talked about, hey, if we talk about masculinity looks like fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
If we do this strict, like this equals that, that can be really unhelpful, right? Because it's not necessarily telling the whole picture, and then people can start pursuing the wrong things because the wrong picture is being painted.
Yeah.
So are there any other things where you think just in our society or even within the church, where you think they might be in and of themselves good things, like father's a great thing, but it might be adding pressure that's not actually really from God? You know,
buying a house.
Oh, Sydney.
I mean, yeah, that the provision as a man, being body, being fit. My midlife crisis was going bald.
Yeah,
is there?
Bro, you rock it.
Is there life after baldness?
Is there?
I'll let you know.
You've been bald for a couple of years now. I think you're right.
It's been a steep descent.
Yeah.
But you can rock the beard though, so.
That's it. Well, I can't be an egg.
Yeah. I can't rock any hair, man, on my face.
Bro, you've got Lord Farquaad going on.
Yeah, genuinely.
Yeah,
and I got a haircut recently as well. So anytime my hair's in front of my ears, I'm literally from Shrek 2.
Did you bring in a reference photo? It's just Lord Farquaad.
Should be the thumbnail for the podcast.
She's like, what do you want today? And you're like, oh, just the brought in a screenshot.
Just the fuck one.
God.
That's cracker.
I don't really have anything to add to what you said.
No, so. Good. I'll carry on then. Beautiful. So, what have been some of the biggest obstacles you've faced in maintaining a relationship? It's one thing to start it.
Yeah. Communication, and it's very silly because it's the most cliche thing in the world, but it's like it's cliche for a reason, I think, because I'm very much like I love to keep the peace.
Okay.
Like, I like to make sure
peacekeeper.
Yeah. I've often found conflict as like a threat to a relationship,
okay,
rather than something that will be good for it.
Yeah.
And so learning to communicate well and like make sure that we're like prioritizing like your feeling and what you're thinking at the expense of peace for a second is has been a big obstacle for me.
I mean, that right there could save a lot of relationships.
Because
I think, if you're avoiding conflict...
Yeah.
You're gonna
good conflict as well.
Good conflict.
Yeah, there's shouting at your partner conflict,
yes,
which is not
unhealthy.
Good conflict. You might be getting at an issue, but you're doing it terribly. And so the message went across anyway.
So how do you have good conflict?
I think you got to be sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to be sensitive to what your partner needs, loves, desires, like has been brought up in. Like you have to talk about the kind of conflict you've had growing up and whether you've had conflict and what it's looked like, because that will actually impact how.
Yeah. Cause if your parents never
fought or fought so much, like it's going to.
Yeah. Very true.
Mm.
That's good, man. Mm. Any, Alistair, any thoughts?
Yeah. Well, on what Curtis said, like the Bible says iron sharpens iron. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like going to the gym. You can't avoid the pain all the time because then you won't grow. But at the same time, if you're in a relationship like ones that I've been exposed to where it's not, let's get through this thing. It's let's tear you down. That is critically unhealthy.
Yeah. Gosh. So you've experienced that in a relationship?
Not in it, but that was the family environment I grew up in.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was a very, very unhealthy relationship. And then coming into the church environment, I had to learn that, okay, that's not how you go through conflict with someone. You have to understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
And, okay, it's going to hit you in a personal way.
Yeah.
But also they've said what they've said.
Yeah.
They've done what they've done for a reason.
Yeah.
And understanding where they come from, using a bit of that epistemic humility, seeing how they got to their conclusion, actually helps the end result be something that's healthy and a ground that you can step up onto and move on from.
Yeah.
Rather than just a battleground.
Battleground. Oh, what's that song?
Love always feels like a battlefield. That one?
Battlefield. Love is a battlefield.
Jordan Sparks.
Jordan Sparks.
Guy Sebastian.
Both. I think it was a...
Wow. He's won international
I met Guy Sebastian.
Wow.
Yeah. He was...
With the fro or without the fro?
Without
the fro. He was playing indoor cricket in Brookvale.
No.
Yeah, yeah. No joke. Like 15 years ago, I rocked up and he was just there playing cricket. And I got,
you're like,
I
my idol.
I had his little EP and I got it signed.
Well, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, you like carried around his EP?
Well, no. CD, bro. I had a CD.
Did you know he was going to be there?
No.
No, he had his Walkman.
And I was like watching the cricket.
And you just happened to have a...
No, I like walked... Sorry, my house is very close. I walked back and...
Context is king, my friend.
I was like, you just lugging around your Guy Sebastian CD 24-7.
I have just like a vinyl that I just carry around.
Bro, some people have a Gideon's Bible. Yeah. He's got Guy Sebastian CD.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it's a bit of a flex.
It's very good. Oh! Is it?
Apparently not.
Okay, so let's talk milestones. So, you know, relationships, they're meant to progress, right? So what are some milestones in relationships when kind of indicators where you think, okay, it's time to kind of go to the next stage? Maybe it's from dating to engaged to married.
I'd love to hear from you, Tyler.
Married, having kids. Ooh, okay.
As the man that's gone all the way.
All the way. I could die now. Happy. Okay, so some milestones. So thinking...
Like, how did you know that you wanted to propose?
Ooh, okay. So, I think Em and I, we used to have dates where we would know we were going to, like, talk deep. So we wouldn't just launch, like hard launch a, because you know when you catch someone off guard,
yeah,
they might not want to be that vulnerable. You know, like, because I mean, my personality, sometimes I need to, if someone just tries to get behind my walls and I'm not ready for it, I'll be like, no. So we'd have these like dinner dates where it's like, hey, let's just chat us and future and life. And I quickly discovered I was probably way more ready than she was. Probably like a year in, I was like, let's chat marriage. And Em was like, no.
How old were you?
Ooh. We started dating when I was 21.
Yeah.
And how old was she?
Same age. We're like 4 or 5 months apart. Cool. So we ended up getting engaged after 2 years of dating. But I think... the fact that I just knew she wasn't ready was good. Because if I'd like gone down one knee and completely misread where she was at, the pressure on a girl to say yes when a guy proposes is huge, right? So I was really glad. Like at the time, I was a bit like, ooh, okay, we're really not in the same place. But ultimately, it was way better that I just knew where we were at. And then... and I kind of was like, okay, I'm just going to pull back a bit. Let's just date. Let's just keep it fun and light. And then in a few months, let's kind of broach the subject again. And we kind of just did that to the point where her answers slowly started going more like, oh, yeah, like, you know, think about it, to like, to the point where I was like, okay, I think she's ready, you know. So I think that's kind as well to do that.
Yeah,
to
I was going to say.
Yeah, to not kind. Put her in a really tricky situation, because getting engaged is a very public affair. So you want to be ready. It's apart from having kids, it's the biggest kind of life decision you're ever going to make. So you want to be in a good place. The second milestone was, I really wanted Em to know who she was saying yes to.
Awesome.
Yes, good point.
Because Em's from Perth, so we didn't grow up together. She doesn't know, like, me before I was really, like, 20 kind of thing. Story for another day. We met in Hawaii when we were 11. But that's, like, story for another day.
Mate,
so
predestined.
Oh, there we go. So she moved to
Sydney.
At
a global conference, I bet.
Yes, it was. We, in the kids program.
I love that.
In the green room.
And so, like, as you do, like, you have things that you need to tell other people about. Not everyone, but if you're going to marry someone, they need to know your flaws, your struggles, and significant things you've walked through. Mm. And so I remember, like, two big occasions, we kind of sat down and I was just like, here's, like, everything. Mm. Everything I've been through, everything I struggle with. And that took a lot of courage for me, because I think I'm better with being vulnerable now. But at the time, I cared so much about the relationship. And I, like, the talk of, like, the high stakes.
Yeah.
It felt like I was putting my heart on a platter and
could be rejected.
I was like, I was ready for it to be stabbed.
Yeah.
You know? But the motivator for me was, I want you to know me.
Mm.
Like, I want to be known by you.
Yeah.
Because when I do propose and you say yes, I want you to know who you're marrying.
Yeah.
And to fully say yes.
Mm. Isn't that, like, sorry, just to interrupt. Isn't that the most amazing picture of, though, of, like, how Christ approaches us?
Mm.
Like, ooh. We're like, he doesn't, like, in this beautiful picture of what marriage is, of this joining of God, of Christ with the church. Mm. Like, he's not joining a church that is, has it all together.
No.
Like, that was never what it was about.
So we don't need to hide it.
We don't need to hide it. And, like, what I've found, just to add to that, is, like, when you share your heart with someone, they often are, like, just so, they feel so privileged to be let in to see another side of, you know, what other people actually don't get to see. So it's beautiful.
It's and vulnerability begets vulnerability.
Yeah.
Big time.
Like, you can't ask someone to be vulnerable if you're not vulnerable.
Mm.
And someone has to start.
Great point.
And out of that, like, she then opened up to me, and it bonded us like at such an intimate level that was, you know, platonic at that stage.
Yeah.
But emotionally and relationally, it bonded us at such a, that it was like, that, like, was like, it's on, let's get married. You
and
know what I mean?
And, like, you realize you can cope with more than you think, and you realize your partner can cope with more than you think they can cope with as well. Like, it's vice versa.
And I would say it is natural to have to process things as well. To go, ooh, okay, I'm finding this out about you, because, you know, people are complex. And so when we find out a new facet of them, it's like, ooh, okay. But then you can grow grace for that. You know, you can grow, like, okay, and bring that whole person in. But I think the consequence of not being vulnerable with your girlfriend or, like, and if you do get married, it then turns into a secret, and then it can compound, and then it just gets ugly.
Yeah, what's hidden in the dark is left to fester.
And it festers.
Yeah.
And it can kill.
Yeah.
Or just, you know. So I think that'd be my two biggest, like, if you're still dating and you're thinking you want to take this to marriage, before you get engaged, or definitely before you get married, like, just fully open up.
Mm.
You will not regret it. If you already are married, do it ASAP. Like,
yeah. And it's not one conversation, is it?
No, but start.
Yeah.
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 Please start. So, yeah, that's my thoughts.
And that's like a marriage context, but that's also a friendship context as well.
Mm.
Like, that's like vulnerability at all stages of your life.
Well, that's it. Because if you don't want to get married or don't want to date, if you're single for the rest of your life, you have to have other people you're vulnerable with.
Of course. And that's why we're called to confess our sins to one another. Because there are certain things I know in my life where I'm going, okay, I'm on this journey and I'm dealing with something. And I think, I don't need to tell anyone. The Lord knows. He sees it. I've repented.
Alas.
But
alas.
At the same time, when I have someone trusted in my life.
Yeah.
So probably someone who's been discipling me or that I look up to.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, mate, here's something that I am either dealing with or have dealt with.
Mm.
Once I tell them, the yoke has been taken off my shoulders because someone else knows.
Yep.
It's now in the
light.
And
a yoke is like a burden.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify on that. It's not like you start dating and get married and you no longer need mateship.
Oh, of course.
If anything, you need stronger friendships because, how do I describe it? Because
you have more pressure.
You have more pressure and you need the accountability to be higher, because if you now fall, you can really hurt the person you're dating or really hurt your marriage, your children. Thank you guys. So on the, let's kind of final question here.
Yeah.
On the, like, being vulnerable with friends, staying accountable, I think a big one for guys is just the area of lust.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's very normal. Mm. God created us as sexual beings. So to have sexual attraction is a normal thing. However, when it becomes lustful, so I'll define lust as you're sexually desiring something that you cannot have.
Sure.
You know, it's unhealthy. And it's about selfish gain. It's not about love.
Exactly.
How have you guys navigated, just as a guy, single guy, dating, married, lust does not go away when you get married. How have you navigated the, kind of managed it really?
Curtis?
Yeah. Such a good question. And
it's a
big
one.
Like, we don't need to pretend like sexual desire is not a thing.
Mm.
And like, we don't have it.
Eunuchs.
Yeah. And I was told this metaphor from a friend of mine, like fire is meant for a fireplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you take fire out of a fireplace, the fire doesn't become evil. Like, it's not like the actual thing starts becoming evil. It just starts doing what it's not meant to do, which it's uncontained and it spreads. But sexual desire is always good.
Mm.
It is always good. Mm. Right? It's the context that we cultivate kind of around it.
Mm.
Right? And so something that's been really helpful for me has been with like an accountability setting and confession is not about, I'm not being accountable to rules. Mm. Like, you know, did I not do this? Did I do this? It's being about accountable to like a vision, right?
Mm.
So it's like replacing rules with like a vision of sexual purity.
Yeah,
well. Right. It's like, what do I want to do in this relationship? Do I want to produce this or do I want to produce that? And sometimes that has been like just a wildly more helpful way of going about it than being like, okay, like I've got to be out in 4 minutes and I've got to make sure I'm, you know, not doing this, not doing that. It's like, okay, like when I'm picturing this person, you know, how am I seeing her? How am I loving her? What is this producing in her as well? Am I taking from her or am I giving? Like, how am I setting her up for a win? And so it's literally just flipping it from rules to like having goals. So I found that really helpful.
I love the goal. I think it'd be helpful to share the goal with the person you're dating.
Yeah.
Because
Totally.
If you're not on the same page about your sexuality or sex or the goal around that, it's going to be very hard to maintain any goal that you have.
That's a great point.
And I remember when Em and I started dating, I just felt the need to kind of communicate. And we're just driving one day and I was like, oh, look, like, wherever this goes, you know, because it was early days, so who knows. I just want to be clear that, like, I want to honor God. I want to honor you. And so, you know, we won't have sex. We won't do anything other than some schmoochies.
Schmoochies.
Schmoochies. And I think just, like, communicating it kind of broke the awkwardness or any questions around it. But also it was like, okay, it's clear what I want.
Exactly. It's that intentionality that you began with.
Yeah. And to say what I want under a sober mind.
Yeah.
Because when you get heated, what you actually want can go out the window very quickly.
Totally.
So when I'm in a sober mind, like I'm not, you know what I mean by heated.
Yes. We all have imaginations.
Yeah. I was like, what's a good word for this?
Hit. You said hit or heat.
Heated.
Heated.
That this is the vision I want for this relationship, my sexuality. Then it's not like I'm not making decisions when it's on. You know what I'm saying? So to wrap it up, guys, from this whole thing, I mean, we could have talked for hours. But what's one thing you want people to really kind of take away from this, wherever they're at in life?
I think what you were saying about intentionality.
Mm.
Like, treat dating seriously. Treat being single seriously. Treat marriage seriously. Every context needs to be treated with care.
Yep.
Yeah. I think if I could speak into anything, it would be the single men.
Yep.
And it would be that where you are being single is not just the step to the next thing.
Mm.
It is its own valued time in your life.
Right.
Like, you should value the fact that you're single, not resent it.
Not resent it. Yep. That's brilliant. Well, lads, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
Thanks for the wisdom. Thanks for the insight.
So good.
Looking forward next time to having the ladies in the seat, putting them in the hot seat.
Yeah.
We've got a special guest as well.
Special guest.
Special guest host, should I say.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to tune in.
Yeah, you will.
Is it going to be a reactionary video to
no.
to this podcast?
We'll be correcting everything we said. Well, guys, I hope this has been helpful. And this is another episode of SYD Life. And we'll catch you next time. See ya.
This podcast is produced by C3 SYD Church. We exist to know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. For information, head to c3syd.church. And for more content, go to @sydlife.podcast. Help us reach more people in Sydney by sharing this episode with a friend. See you next time.